Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
All right, back in the sports bar. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Danger Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. More Bills Browns talk from yesterday's disappointing loss in Cleveland. We welcome in Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse Post-Standard. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Ryan, always appreciate your time. If we're at, are we with one being the most alarming, are we at DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 5 when it comes to the Buffalo Bills losing their playoff chances here, knowing what's coming up down the road on the schedule?
Yeah, I would say maybe somewhere in between there. I still think this is a team that has a chance to win 10 games, but that was a game yesterday they really let get away from them. They had that late lead. It was an ugly game. It was a very sloppy game, but that was one of those games where they've won this type of game throughout the season this year. But obviously, on the other end of that, you can't expect to win every single one of these close games that come down to the wire, which is something that has happened to date.
Ryan, I just think that those close games aren't close games if you actually acquire the talent that you need to pull away. And if there was a difference in yesterday's game, what was apparent to me was that Cleveland just had a little bit more talent on the offensive side of the ball to get done what they needed to get done for the win.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, last week I wrote this piece saying that the Bills should be questioned for not putting in a claim for a guy like Josh Gordon. You know, it's one thing to not trade away a high draft pick at the trade deadline for a wide receiver. I get that. I understand that. Brendan Bean is big on keeping the draft picks, building that way. But you had Josh Gordon, who, mind you, he's not the same wide receiver he was from 2013. He gets released, and he has to go through the waiver process. And if the Bills had put in a claim, they would have ended up getting this guy. And you can't tell me that he wouldn't be more valuable out there on the field in these big situations than a guy like Andre Roberts, who, for whatever reason, is getting some important targets on these third down plays and at these other times where, you know, that's not his forte. They brought him in to be a return man, first and foremost. So they're lacking that talent at wide receiver and that depth that they truly need, I think, to be a competitive team.
Ryan, how much leash do they give Levi Wallace here? Another rough afternoon for Levi yesterday. So is that something we can second guess too, the fact that you might have brought in an additional veteran quarter, maybe at least just to kind of stabilize that position?
Yeah, I think the leash is, I don't think there is a leash anymore. I think you have to turn to Kevin Johnson at this point, give him some starting reps, at least split them more, or give Levi Wallace some extra time on the sidelines. Just kind of, you know, get a look at things from the sideline. I think maybe it's part confidence. I think his confidence might be a little bit shot after these last few weeks, especially after this Browns game. He gives up the opening touchdown to Jarvis Landry. You know, mind you, he didn't have terrible coverage on that play. That was a good throw, good catch. But that last touchdown, I mean, he just was turned around. He was nowhere near in position on that play, on that touchdown pass to Higgins. So I do think you have to kind of pull him at this point and say, listen, you know, you're costing us points on the field. We did bring in Kevin Johnson this offseason, former first-round pick, knows some of our coaching staff, played really well throughout the summer. There was talk of him possibly even winning the job over the summer. So at least give him some reps as the starter to see what he can do across from Tre'Davious White.
You know, short of the safety, I was worried that we were going to go the entire game yesterday without really mentioning Tremaine Edmonds in any play that he has made. I just feel like I continue to see the young linebacker over-pursuing, not staying where he needs to be or not plugging the holes that he needs to plug. And once again, in the first half of yesterday's game, the Bills' run defense gets absolutely gashed. Give us your overall impressions of the season that Edmonds has had so far.
Been up and down. There's no doubt about that. You know, you mentioned it, though. He did have the sack for the safety. He did bat a pass on a third down play that ended up getting the defense off the field.
So he did have two big plays there, but he's having trouble shedding blocks in run defense, where he can't get off that initial block, and that's hurting him and hurting the defense at that. But he's not the only one that's out of place on these big runs, it seems like. At the end of the day, you know, I guess I do have more of a leash for this guy, because even in his second year, he's only 21 years old. He still is one of the younger linebackers or starters in the NFL. And with the bad, there's also seems to be some flashes and some good week in and week out. So as long as he keeps growing, I'm okay with his play. But you're right. It's been very up and down in his second season.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Buffalo Bills lost number 3 against the Browns on Sunday. Coming up, it's the Miami Dolphins. Ryan, let's go back to the last minute of that game. Ball at the Cleveland 41-yard line. Snap goes off with 59 seconds remaining. And you run only 2 plays in that last sequence. Who's at fault here when it comes to the clock management? Is that the quarterback, or is it Daboll? Is it McDermott? Your thoughts on that whole let's play to tie scenario that didn't work out for the Buffalo Bills when they had the ball again in Cleveland territory?
Yeah, I'm going to pin this one on McDermott, because he even said post-game, you know, they're playing for the tie at this point. Now, that doesn't give him an excuse for wasting that time that they had in the huddle. Like you said, 2 plays, that's inexcusable. And they're huddling up, and you're looking at the clock, and it's, what is this team doing? And obviously, they wanted to keep that timeout in their back pocket. They wanted to make sure that if there was a sack or something like that, they could call the timeout. But you have to go off with a plan and say, listen, these are our next 2-3 plays, whatever the case may be. There has to be some urgency there, and there was none of that whatsoever. And that ended up costing the Bills, because they couldn't convert on that third down play, and all of a sudden you're bringing Steven Hauschka out for a 50-plus yard field goal, which is something he hasn't made in like the last calendar year. That's not his specialty anymore, and that's something that's also a little bit concerning too. So, you know, there was a lot of blame to go around for the overall loss yesterday, but when it comes down to that last minute or so, yeah, I think that McDermott, just by saying that they were playing for the tie, that kind of tells you there was no urgency there. They weren't really trying to get that touchdown.
I'm so angry just hearing him say that. It's gutless. It's absolutely gutless. What coach in the NFL says we're playing to tie? You don't play to tie. Everybody knows you play to win. And to hear him actually admit that is just, it's insane to me. We spend so much time talking about culture and process, and yet when it comes down to it, when you need to make a tough decision, we're playing to tie.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And if you watch that game yesterday, you know, there's nothing that I can look at to say that would even be a remotely good decision. I know that the Browns only scored 19 points on the Bills yesterday, but they moved that ball up and down the field on yes. Buffalo throughout that game. They, mind you, the Bills had a great goal line stand. I think the right tackle for the Browns saved Freddie Kitchens from himself with that false start, because that could have been a second goal line stand. But the Browns weren't having trouble moving the ball, so why are you saying let's play for overtime? Because one way or the other, you know, the Bills' offense is very inconsistent, where the Browns, yeah, they can make some mistakes, they can shoot themselves in the foot, but it's not like Buffalo's defense was shutting down this offense and getting them off the field with ease.
Ryan Talbot, our guest, I'm going to ask you for a question. I know you won't have the answer, but maybe you could give us a perspective on it. Devin Singletary, 8 carries yesterday. If you're a lead running back in this league, that's an easy, easy second guess, Ryan. Any idea why the Buffalo Bills strayed away from handing the ball to perhaps their best playmaker?
No, and there's no excuse for it. And you know, social media is full of the fire Brian Daboll crowd, and that's extreme, don't get me wrong. But if there's one thing that you really want to critique about him yesterday, it's the fact that he didn't give Devin Singletary more than 8 carries against the number 30 run defense in the NFL. This is a team that's been having trouble stopping the run, and it's not like Singletary was shut down at the line when he was getting these carries. He averaged over 5 yards per carry. He was having success. And, you know, some people will say, well, he ended up having 7 targets in the pass game as well. I get that. But if you have a guy that's averaging over 5 yards per carry, at minimum, I would like to see him get 12 to 15 carries per game. You have to have a more balanced offense with Josh Allen as your quarterback. You should not be trying to get Josh Allen more than 40 attempts. That happens sometimes if you're trailing and you're trying to come from behind. and you're down by two plus scores, but that wasn't the situation here. This was a close game, and your game plan is to throw the ball 41 times to Josh Allen, but not give your running back, who is coming off of a great game against Washington, mind you, more than eight carries. So, you know, that's pretty inexcusable. At the end of the day, Dable did get guys open. You know, McKenzie was open deep. That could have been a touchdown. He had guys that were open that he schemes open in every single, you know, not every single play, but a lot of those pass plays. You can look and you say, okay, that guy going across the field, Cole Beasley's open. I saw, you know, John Brown get open at the break here. Dawson Knox had a really nice game for the Bills too, but you have to have more balance than what he had yesterday in that loss.
Ryan, I look around the league and I see teams and I view them through an envious lens. I think to myself, all right, what did Baltimore do that has made them what they are? They took a chance and they drafted a guy that everybody else thought wasn't going to pan out in the NFL. And not only did they draft him, they said, you know what? We're going to build everything around him. We're going to give him everything that he possibly needs in order to be a success, including, you know, blowing out our offensive coordinator, bringing in one that we know can implement a game plan that he'll eat up. And it will play to his strengths. And I guess my concern is with the Bills, that they aren't doing that, that they fail to recognize the strengths of their star players, their core players, and build a game plan around those strengths. And you know, we can talk about the lack of use of Singletary. I think we can also talk about how they've dealt with Josh Allen. It feels like they're managing Josh Allen and almost holding him back rather than trusting him and building around his strengths.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You're not seeing the same type of quarterback that you saw in his rookie year, for better or worse. There were times last year where Josh Allen was playing out of control on the field, but boy, was it fun to watch at times because he would make these jaw-dropping plays. He seems to be playing a much different style where he's not taking those same risks. And I get that, you know, when he makes some risks or some of those throws that you look at, maybe you go back to the New England game this year where he had three interceptions, and some of them were really bad, double coverage. Those are the types of throws that, okay, I get it. You don't want him making that, but you also don't want to just say, Josh, we don't want you making those types of plays. We don't want you taking those types of risks. Even the deep ball, you know, the deep ball all season, he is just airmailing these passes. He's had guys open, but I would rather at least see him throw it up there in those one-on-one situations and say, let's see if my guy can at least come down with the ball, because he's not even giving them the opportunity. So, well, you know, maybe they're not playing to his strengths. Maybe they're not letting him be the type of quarterback that he is, a guy that can really make plays with his arm and his feet. He's still getting some runs that are designed, but, you know, he's also not being as reckless or I don't know, wild, I guess maybe would be the better word, because there were times last year where he left the pocket too soon. I'll give you that. But there are also times where he turned those into pretty big plays using his feet. So I don't know if it's the coaching staff. I don't know if it's after that concussion that he suffered, what the case may be. But he's not playing the way that he was in his rookie year, where there was that excitement. And you saw him using his strengths to move the ball on a team that lacked a lot of talent.
Right, so next up, it's the Miami Dolphins. And we can all laugh and point at this team that's tanking. Brian, they've won two in a row. Your thoughts on this Dolphin team that, well, had things gone differently, maybe they would have picked up their first win of the season in Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, give Brian Flores credit. This team is still playing hard for him week in and week out. And if you actually, you know, I watched parts of the game yesterday against the Colts. Vinatieri missed an extra point for the Colts that really kind of limited them or hurt them late in the game where they could have played for a field goal or things like that, but they needed that touchdown. They had Brian Hoyer. This is a team that's now without their top running back. Walton was suspended for four games before this game against the Colts, and they still ended up winning. They lost their number one wide receiver in Preston Williams before this game. So you're looking at this roster, and you're like, man, there's still not a lot of talent here. You have Devontae Parker, who has never really broken out since they drafted him early. You have Mike Gesicki, who actually is playing a lot better with Ryan Fitzpatrick as his quarterback, but this is a team that's still playing tough. It's a game that the Bills absolutely should win, but they played Buffalo tough in that first matchup too. And this is a team that believes that they can compete now, it looks like. They're playing tough. They're getting turnovers. They had three interceptions yesterday, I should say, against the Colts. So this isn't a gimme. There are no gimmies in the NFL. But at the end of the day, this is a team that the Bills should beat. And if you actually look at the Colts' game plan, their two leading wide receivers were Ebron and Doyle. They're two tight ends. So I wouldn't be shocked if Dawson Knox, coming off of a career game yesterday, has a big role in Sunday's game, if Dable follows the trends, that is. You know, you never know, because you'd think the Bills would have run more yesterday against the Browns than you didn't. But there's ways that you can beat this team. The Bills have more talent from top to bottom, and they have a really good chance here to get back on track.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Ryan, always gracious with your time. Make sure you let our listeners know before we let you go what you're working on for the site this week, what we can read up on in advance of the Bills and the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm going to look at every single team that's in the AFC playoff hunt, in the wild card race, so to speak, look at their remaining schedule, give one reason why they can make the playoffs, one reason why they won't, and I'm going to rank those teams based on which two teams I think are going to end up winning those two wild card spots in the conference.
Ooh. All right, so we'll check that out here as, we are now at Veterans Day. Ryan, appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks again, guys.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Syracuse Post Standard, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Some good insight from yesterday's game. Ryan, I think, like most of us today, wildly frustrated with the output of the Bills' offense against, you would suspect, an inferior opponent. They kept testing Denzel Ward. That was the other thing that drove me nuts. As I'm watching the game, I'm like, you keep testing Ward. Why? Why are you testing Ward? Ward's good. Ward will break up plays. Ward will cover you. He's a good player. Maddening. It's just maddening.
Well, we're playing it had this whiff of Dick Duran yesterday. Defensive coach, let's just get out of here, kick the field goal at the end. Boy, that made your head explode. We need to kick the field goal to the tie.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we're playing to tie at this point. That's our strategy.
If Cleveland wins the coin toss, are you really going to stop them from driving down and scoring the touchdown? McDermott blew that one yesterday.
Well, I'll drink to that is on the way next in the sports bar. We have some takes on tap, and I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into teams in the NFL that didn't sit on their hands prior to the trade deadline, that actually went out and acquired the talent, what it's meant to those teams, and why those teams will be in the postseason while the Bills are sitting at home.
I'm going to. We have so much blame today, right? On this Monday. Allen, McDermott, defense, Levi Wallace, Dable. The late Ralph Wilson. I'm going to throw some blame his way.
Oh!
Yes, I'll get there. I'll explain why when you see something like yesterday, Ralph, you didn't do us any favors, bud. Sorry.
And you know what? A take from the Sabres. The Sabres returning home from Sweden. Right. And we saw this on Friday, and we had a shortened show on Friday, so we didn't really have a ton of time to get into the big play from Friday afternoon's game, the hit on Sobotka. The Kucherov hit on Sobotka. And the idea that the NHL will not be disciplining him for that hit on Sobotka. I have some thoughts on that, and you're going to be surprised. It's not really the NHL that I'm going to be blaming on this one.
Okay.
All right. I'll drink to that is on the way next. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.